It's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one.
Welcome to Educators for Life, a winning world show with Shermanda. Coming to inspire, motivate, encourage, to shed light, and bring hope. We will share testimonies and share stories of people from around the world who have chosen to live triumphant lives on purpose, overcoming adversities. And now, a winning world show with Shermanda.
Gotta prove yourself and show them what you got. Number one.
Matthew 5:13 through 14, teaching about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can one make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Our word for today is light. What is light? The natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible, the light of the sun versus the dark of the night, illumination, brightness, luminosity, shining, gleaming, brilliance, radiance, luster, sunlight, moonlight, starlight, electric light, gas light, and ray of light, and the list goes on and on. The beauty in this is that light overshadows darkness. So as children of the light, we become the light in the world as to who Jesus is, bringing hope and sharing love to draw from darkness into the marvelous light. This sounds easy, but until we have truly come to the place of dying to our feelings of how we've been taught or think it should be, our doctrines, our religious beliefs, our laws, our viewpoints, we can never be an effective light. We are dim and flickering until that point that we die to self and embrace the Holy Ghost to lead and guide us. I had an experience last week after therapy. I didn't feel up to going to the business meeting, but something said press in. The pain was great, but I just heard a call to go. I didn't realize until the end of the class why I'd been sent. I was talking about Jesus and his faithfulness, not taking into consideration that there are others around who may not think or believe as I do, but God had a plan. There were two ladies I was speaking directly to, and one of those whose hand I was holding said, "Yes, well, even though I'm an atheist," to our conversation, and yet I held her hand, looking her in her eyes, and told her, "I love you, and I see love in you." She was taken aback and smiled, replying, "I love you and I love your spirit." The other woman was looking on as I told the proclaiming atheist what God had shown me in her as light and love, and that that's what I would give because that's what's in me. She kept looking in amazement and said, "When I've told others who said they were Christians like you, they've quickly loosed my hand and are just turned away from me. But you held on. You held my hand and didn't pull away." I told her, "I can't judge lest I be judged." And she shook her head saying, "Yes, but I can love because love is what is in me and it's what I want in return. The God I serve could have turned away from me many times in my wrongs, but he's never let me go." She came and hugged me at least three times before walking out the door and was looking back, smiling. And I know she saw Jesus through it, and it appeared as though she was looking at me, but she was looking at him. The other lady walked with me to my car and said, "I'm a Christian, and I wouldn't have handled that the way that you just did. I need to have more of that. I need to do better." Truth is, it was not my way, but God's way. You know, she was saying, "I need to do it more your way," and no, it wasn't my way. Being the light has nothing to do with feelings, but the spirit. I realized as I drove away, God said, go in spite of the pain and press in the moment, because he had something for me to yield myself to do. I realized that I died to flesh and hearing, not to be reactive or emotional in the moment, but yielded to the Father to do the work he desired in his way. It gripped not only the proclaiming atheist, but also the Christian who realized she's been operating in religion. Is there a place that you may need to die more to not allow your religious understanding to block the truth and getting those God would desire light to shine? In 1 Corinthians 13:9 states, For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We of our own selves can do nothing. We are given but a measure. We all mean well, but are oftentimes doing more harm than good because our emotions are tied into the flesh of religion, when death to flesh is what's to be tied to the spirit, the Christ spirit, and resurrection of his light shining through us. Let us be mindful to get out of our own way daily. God is sending us out to deliver messages and also to receive messages. We are the miracle, the light people need to see daily, but we must first allow the miracle of the marvelous light to consume us, ignite us, and empower us, which is only found in and through the Word of God. I didn't see an atheist before me. I saw love. Love is a choice. Love was and is my choice. Love is light that sees us through the darkness. Love is God. Great day, beloveds. With love, hugs, and kisses, I greet you. And hey, I'm back. I thought we'd had to take a break on last week, but God said, keep in the press, believing he will make a way. I'm still in the learning, the hows of fundraising, getting advertisers, and looking for sponsors for the show. If any of you out there desire to help us, you know, stay on the air and continue bringing these great stories, please connect with us. I've learned to call forth that needed as we have not because we ask not. Not I, Shermanda, needs help to carry out that she's called, but she's calling forth that she's needing to do that, the work that God has called for her to do. I'm glad to be bringing you another winning story. Our guest today are senior pastors Donald and executive pastor Ethel of Christian Development Center in California, who have been married for 30 years, in my term, love blissful years, and are still honeymooning with three beautiful children God has granted them. You can only imagine the accolades after so many years, but I will save those to come within the telling of their story this morning. They have a story of pain to gain in marriage that is stirring up hearts and mending broken marriages and growing healthy ones. Their story is one that defies that told in life that how it starts, it will end up. No, not so, but rather how God can take which seems bleak and make it sweet. Let's welcome pastors Donald and Ethel. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have you all. Where are you this morning?
We're located in Montclair, California. And the weather's kind of chilly out here. It's kind of wanting to rain off and on.
We are having the same weather here. It's cold and wet.
Yeah.
So are you all both originally from California?
No. I was born and raised in the state of Mississippi.
Okay.
I've been here in California almost, I would say, at least 40 years now, so I guess you can call me a native.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm from Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. My mom brought us five children here, and I've been here. I'm 60 now, so I've been here all my life.
Okay. Can you all share some of your growing up years?
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Pastor. You start.
Well, if you guys know anything about Mississippi during the 60s, that should speak for itself, because that was my lifestyle. And you know anything about our black history, so Mississippi was a very racial So I had to endure that environment for a while, and grew up not liking myself or the state. So thank God he rescued me and set my path on a more definable path.
Amen.
So.
And I grew up in a single-family home, and so did my husband. And we had no father figures to help to nurture us or, you know, build us or things like that. So my mom struggled. My father was with us until I was five, and then he left. So we didn't have that, those kind of role models before us growing up. So it's very painful, as you said, Shamanda, growing up without having an identity and having someone to affirm you and to believe in you and to love you and support you and speak, you know, things into your life. So that's kind of how we grew up.
Okay. Well, how did you all meet? How did your paths cross, and how did your past affect your meeting?
Well, like I stated, thank God rescued me at the time. I didn't know that that's what he was doing. I left the state of Mississippi going to Chicago to study to be an accountant. And, of course, I had some obstacles in the way, and eventually landed here in California, where I was staying with one of my sisters. And she nagged me every Sunday to go to her church. Church was not my thing at the time. I did not know anything about church culture or church traditions, Christ himself. And so she would just bug me. And to get her off of my back, I went to her church one Sunday, and where I heard a message about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for my sins, and that intrigued me. Very analytical, so I needed to do some research on this person to see, you know, why he would love someone like myself. And it was at that place that I ran across my wife. And after receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, God spoke to my heart and told me that she would be my wife. And so we set our hearts to obey God from there. That's a real brief summary. You have to get the book to really get the full impact of that.
I have the book and I've read it. So
okay.
I know a little bit. I say, okay, he's been a little, how you say, just making it light for us here.
Yeah. I really am, because, you know, we don't have the time to really give all of the details. And sometimes that's unfortunate, because people will say, well, you heard God. But I really did. God began to speak to me immediately after my born-again experience. And I've learned now that that was because of the calling that he had on my life. And so, you know, and of course, that's not traditional. A lot of people, you know, are very skeptical about that. But as they say, there's proof in the eating of the pudding, right? So I got 36 years, so I think I heard it.
I think so, too. Well, we can let Pastor Ethel continue that in, you know, your meeting and how things began with you.
Okay. Well, what happened with me was I was on my way up the corporate ladder and everything in my single state. And then when I made the Lord of my life, I was going to church. And there's a difference in going to church and being submitted to his leadership and his lordship. And when I started doing that and seeking him and spending time with him, I took literally what he said when Adam and met him in the cool of the day. So I began to spend time with him in the morning at 6 a.m. I set a time with a friend. She became my prayer partner. Then in the evening, I would meet God every day. And so he instructed me to take myself off the dating market, come off the scene, and then trust me. And so I did. And so as I did that, I got involved in my church, came alongside my pastor and asked them what could I do to serve and help any way I could, bringing children off the street to get to know Jesus. And so when my husband came, I looked up and I heard God, but I had developed an ear to hear God. And he spoke and said, "That's your husband." And he confirmed it with a scripture in Isaiah 62, where it says, "Because you have delighted in me," which is the key to singles that are listening. As you delight in him, he said, then I'm giving you the desires of your heart, and you shall be married. So he confirmed that day that that was my husband. But I was still like, I don't want a divorce. I went to my spiritual mom, and she confirmed it, saying that that was him. And then I went on a 3-day fast and had a dream. And in the middle of that dream, I saw my ring finger glowing. Mm. And so God was just confirming to me, because I didn't want to make a mistake. Amen. And like I said, we didn't have any role models before us, and I didn't know what a successful marriage. All I had to go by was TV, Leave It to Beaver, I Love Lucy, or whatever. Those were my role models of what marriage looked like, a successful marriage, because we didn't have any in our family.
Yeah.
Well, what
and
was?
She did ask,
go ahead, Pastor.
No, you had asked about how our past impacted our life. Uh-huh. Well, you know, I grew up on the street, so you know, not having the traditional father, mother, role model, the street became my tutor, and so when I came into the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm raw in terms of traditional church settings and traditional church etiquette and what's protocol. None of those things I knew. And so my past, actually, I believe when we look back now, is a great compliment to our relationship, because I didn't have those things. God was able to shape me in line with his will and not with tradition. And so, of course, we had challenges in our relationship because of the past, because I'm emotionally broke.
Yeah.
My wife is emotionally broke. Neither one of us knew what loving each other really looked like, and neither one of us had the tools for success in any relationship. And so our dependency became upon the Lord, and from his word he gave us some instructions on how to be successful. And we implemented those things after 3 years of hell in our relationship, and I mean hell, because Ethel wasn't trained. She didn't listen. If she had just listened to the man of God, we would have been all right, but she wouldn't listen. So, amen. And, you know, after 3 years of hell, and neither one of us wanted to fail. Yeah. We had seen in the Word of God that it was his will for us to see. We just didn't know how.
Amen. Well, we got to let Pastor Ethel come back on that one now. You can't just leave her out there.
Well, no. But she does come back. You read the book, right?
I did.
So, you know, I just have to put that in there so you can get the full effect.
He's absolutely right. Coming from the fact that I didn't have a father figure, I didn't know how to love or respect, love myself, love a man, respect a man, submit to a man. That was like way out somewhere. But because I learned to love God, and God taught me how to love myself, then God began to give me principles in my time of prayer with him on how to turn this relationship from misery to marital bliss, which was our first book that we wrote, Shemanda, which 10 principles that God gave me to learn how to honor him, to respect him, and taught me that it was a mutual submission. So there's going to be times where there's going to be times to confront, times to just be quiet, times to pray, sometimes to fast, sometimes to just show love and go out and buy movie tickets and maybe run a bubble bath or whatever it was. But God gave that insight and wisdom because I was so broken and so damaged. He had to build me up and knowing who I was. Mm-hmm. And then that way I can love from his love. I was able to love, because truly we say people don't fall in love. They grow in love.
Yes.
And God is love. And the world really doesn't know how to love. Yes. It's really based a lot of time on lust, not on love.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah.
So I know that you went through, like you said, about 3 years, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Y'all made it through that. And you came out on this winning side. So tell us about what you're doing in your winning state and how it's impacting other lives.
Well, one of the things that, you know, Ethel and I like to share with singles and married couples and those who are looking to enter into this wonderful covenant is that we believe that if you could look at your marriage or your relationship as a business, if you can look at it as that way, every business needs a blueprint. Mm. Every business needs rules. Every business needs guidelines, policy on how they're going to operate the business. From the Word of God and through counsel with the Holy Spirit, he gave us those insights, and so we began to implement rules, policies, guidelines. We have a blueprint. We have a vision for our relationship. And with that, we're taking that information and sharing with other couples, married couples, those who are looking to enter into the covenant, and to singles. Because we really focus a lot on the singles, because sometimes the singles think that they're in a cursed state. And actually being single is really a blessed state.
Yes.
Because it's where God wants to do his best work mm-hmm. when you're single, so that he can present you whole mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to someone else. And many times singles are hooking up with broken people and wondering why it's not working, because they haven't gotten whole yet.
Yeah.
Adam was single for a while. Adam became whole. It was only after God. God said Adam needed a helper. Adam didn't say he needed one. That God presented. Even so, Ethel and I are taking those principles, taking the insight and wisdom, you know, to change the landscaping of marriage throughout the country mm-hmm. because we believe this. We truly believe this. Mm-hmm. So goes the family. So goes the country. So goes the community. So goes the city. So goes the citizens of the countries and cities. Mm. Everything starts with the family.
Amen.
Even the church. The family was the first institution
Amen.
Before the church.
Absolutely.
And if the family is not whole, the church won't be whole.
So that's what my pastor was saying. What we do is we teach workshops and seminars and retreats and getaways and things like that in order to give people the tools. And when we do our different workshops, we have a toolbox that we bring. And in that toolbox, we have different tools that we share mm-hmm. that will help to assimilate and help people to build and strengthen them. We may have a screwdriver and we say some things need to be tightened up, or we may have a measuring tape in order to measure your growth and things that you put in place. We teach, you know, management, how to fight fair, how not to fight below the belt and attack each other. Be hard on a problem, but not on a person. So God has given us a lot of, there's so many things that we have come to put together, the books and then other curriculum that we work on to be able to help people to move their marriage. We say from pain to pleasure, from pleasure to passion, and from passion to purpose.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So what would be some of the, what would be an instruction or a word of wisdom to a listening, you know, the listening audience that may be going through a trial, tribulation in their marriage, or someone that may be contemplating a marriage?
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Why don't you start?
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is say, talk. If you were saying either contemplating marriage, I know for me a word of wisdom would be, as Pastor had already said, work on becoming whole mm-hmm. yourself first before entering into a marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. Because if you go in and you're not working on yourself, then you can become needy and dependent on someone else and looking outwardly for someone else to make you happy. Mm-hmm. That only God himself can make you happy. Only God is the one who brings fulfillment and complete joy to us, not a man, not a woman, not a marriage, nothing. In a marriage, a word of wisdom would be what God gave me. One of the principles was to learn to see my husband as his son, and not just as my husband. And, mm-hmm. and he said, Ethel, would you pray for him just as a brother in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to look at him as a brother, because I would pray for the other brothers in church, but my husband, it was like, if he made me mad. You know what I'm saying? But when I began to change my focus that he was a brother in Christ, mm-hmm. not just my husband, mm-hmm. I began to intercede for him mm-hmm. as a brother in Christ. And speaking life and my desired end, not what I was experiencing at the time when we first got married. He wasn't very respectful. He didn't know how to be sensitive and kind and loving and all those things. But the Word tells us that we can call those things that be not as though they
Amen.
Were.
Amen.
And so God gave me that principle to begin to speak my desired end. And so my end was I wanted him to be more respectful and loving and kind and come home and lay his head on my breast only and all that. I spoke that.
Mm-hmm.
Said he is a man that respects me. He's honorable. He's a man of integrity, a man of wisdom, a man that, you know, loves God, loves his family,
Amen.
Things like that. So that was something God shared with me to do.
And with that, our time has come to an end. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah 61:3. This word is for those who mourn in Zion. It is a consolation. It comes from the same one who said, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Why are we mourning? Our hearts are lamenting, crying out over past sin and sin itself done to us, through us, and which lies within us. So we've broken God's commandments, done evil against our God. Our hearts feels this and bitterly mourns. The beauty comes in the acknowledgement of who he is and what he has for our lives. His unmerited favor and grace, his blood says, yes, I hear you, I'm here for you, and I have redeemed you for my service. When man says it's over, God says it's just begun. His thoughts are good towards us, and our latter shall be greater than our former. We just have to believe, receive, and decree that it may be established in our lives. Pastors Donald and Ethel, thank you so much for being our honored guest. And I look forward to hosting your conference here in Jacksonville in June. And to my guest and listening audience, always love, hugs, and mwah, kisses. Thank you. And know that we need and solicit your financial support for A Winning World with Shermanda to continue with the production that we bring forth through Kingdom Action Church. Connect with us at website, kingdomactionchurch.com. Until next week.
Thanks for joining A Winning World with Shermanda. Do you have a story or testimony and would like to be considered for an interview on the show? Connect on Facebook at A Winning World or Educators for Life, or visit Shermanda.com. Telephone 904-533-5222 or email connect@educators4life.com. Tune in next week for more winning stories on A Winning World with Shermanda.
Number one.